The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stanley Cup has been presented, the Conn Smythe Trophy awarded, the on-ice portion of the season is over, and three straight Stanley Cup finals has produced back-to-back championships by the Florida Panthers. It was really impressive how they put their foot down.
Really changed, particularly in games five and six, the complexity of the final series, and it went from everybody asking after game four, is this the greatest final in recent history? And the answer got changed to, man, they're good. Are they a machine or what? Because they changed the whole dynamic of what we watched in those last two games. And it went from being one of the greatest series of all time to being, gosh, humdrum. Because Florida made it that way. Florida was effective. Florida didn't do many things wrong in those last two games to win the series. They were utterly impressive.
Has Sam Reinhart looked at the Conn Smythe Trophy yet?
Sam, you mean Sam Reinhart or Sam Bennett?
Sam Bennett. Has he looked at, I was thinking Reinhart because of the four goals.
Yeah, I think there should be an asterisk beside the four goals, but that's me. Two empty netters. Let's not make too much of two empty netters. I know empty net goals count, but you know, it's not like four goals. It's not like Rocket Richard's five.
No,
in 1960,
it's
great. And by the way, the first goal was electric. The first goal was one of the great individual efforts in the last decade, I think, when what he stole the puck from Bouchard and then beat Ekholm twice, once for the puck and then once getting around Ekholm before he beat Skinner. That, to me, was the death knell of the game. You knew then that Florida was going to win. Sam Bennett, though, is, as Paul Maurice says many times, I think he's only said five words to him all season. Mm-hmm. But Sam Bennett's just pragmatic. He liked winning the Conn Smythe. I think he was a bit embarrassed, because that's just not in his game the way it's played now. It was when he was younger, and he wanted the big. He wanted to touch the big trophy, not the Conn Smythe Trophy. So
I love the way they did the rollout of the Stanley Cup handoff.
Wasn't it a good idea? What a brilliant idea! And actually, I was laughing with Eddie Olczyk. When would they have time to discuss it? Have you ever flown from Edmonton to Florida? You have 6 hours. You have lots of time on the plane to talk about these things. I thought it was brilliant. And I think it caught everybody off guard. I think it caught Nate Schmidt off guard when he got the Stanley Cup from Sasha Barkov, and then the rest of those guys that hadn't won cups. That, to me, was, I think that speaks volumes to the environment, the chemistry that has been built mostly by the players. We tend to give people that aren't players credit, but the chemistry built by those players on that roster that are Florida Panthers and will be Florida Panthers forever now with their names on the cup at least two times in a row.
Let's dig into the series with Louis DeBrusque, who covers the Edmonton Oilers and more with Rogers and Sportsnet in just a little bit. But also we want to peel back the onion a little bit on the future of the Oilers. That's coming up next as we continue on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The Stanley Cup season is officially over, so let's start digesting what happened with the final two teams with Louis DeBrusque, who covers the Edmonton Oilers a lot and obviously covers the National Hockey League in more detail beyond that. Louis, what was your impression as your takeaway from the Stanley Cup final?
Well, you know what? It was a repeat of last year. And it kind of went the same direction as last year as well. I think as the series went on, you saw Florida Panthers team that suffocating style just forced so many errors and really frustrated Edmonton and dried up their offense, essentially. You know, you look at the last couple games especially. They had chances early on that Bobrovsky made the saves on. But after that, I just think Florida was such a difficult team to continue to create chances on that even the best players in the world had a difficult time. Great checking team, physical team, relentless pressure. It worked again for their second straight Stanley Cup. So that's what I saw. And, you know, it was 2-2. I mean, I think the Oilers, it was a valiant effort to get it back to 2-2 with that overtime win in game number four. I mean, they came from behind. Eight come from behind wins in the playoffs. It seemed like they were chasing this entire series, which they actually were. And I think that was a daunting task, too. I think that finally took a toll on them.
It's funny, you know, because after the two losses to Los Angeles, Louis,
yeah.
The team went 12-2. Did we all get fooled with the depth? Did we all buy into, gosh, this team is deeper and it's better than last year? Or was it all just Florida being that much better than anybody else in the National Hockey League?
Combination, John, I think. I think that, listen, they did get depth scoring. I think going into the final, they were the deepest team as far as production down the lineup. Florida proved that in the final, their top three lines, especially, and even their fourth line, I got to give them a lot of credit. They didn't play a ton of minutes, but when they were out there, they were a force. They played the system. They played hard. They made it hard for you to create anything on them. And they were big and physical. But I would say that Florida was a step ahead. And I think Florida, going to three straight Stanley Cup finals, got better as the series went on, too. It could have gone the other way. You know, you have to think that the accumulation of those games for Florida you thought might have taken a toll in the series. I thought they got better as the series went on. I think they just settled into the series. They understood what they had to do. They had a game plan, and they exercised it. They deployed it to a T. So give them a lot of credit. That's a great team. And I think every player to a man in Edmonton's dressing room said that last night after the series, like, this was a very difficult team to play against 2 years in a row. And they might have even been better this year. With Seth Jones in the back end coming in and having the impact he had, logging the minutes that he logged, with Brad Marchand coming on, having 10 goals in the playoffs and six in the final. Are you kidding me? That's a third line player having that production. That top three lines and that third line especially, yeah. I just think, you know, it punishes you when you made mistakes. And I think Chris Cuthbert mentioned it on the telecast. He said the 1-0 goal was the 14th time. And I believe the 2-0 goal was the 15th time that when the Edmonton Oilers turned the puck over, the Florida Panthers scored within 10 seconds of that turnover. I mean, if that doesn't tell you how you were getting punished for your mistakes, I don't know what does. But I do believe it was a valiant run. I didn't necessarily see this from Edmonton this year, I'll be honest. I don't think a lot of people did with what happened during the regular season, the adversity they faced going into the playoffs, the injuries they had. We hadn't even seen that lineup on day one of the playoffs. That was a completely new lineup they dressed for the first time in the season in game one of the playoffs. And it continued on where every time they injected a new player, that was the first time we saw that lineup in a game. So when you look at the injuries they had down the stretch, the way they had to rest certain players, McDavid and Draisaitl then played together for the last 14 games, I believe. That's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible that they went in and had the run they did. It could have been over in the first round, like you said, John. It was 2-0 LA. They were up in both games, 3-4 in the third period. Could have easily been 3-0 and 4-0 respectively. Series over, done. We'd be having a completely different conversation. But I think what it showed us about Edmonton, and I think this is the important point, they're a hard out too. This is a team that when their backs are against the wall, when they face adversity, they can win hockey games. I think they ran out of gas. I truly do. I think they ran out of gas. And because of that, energy levels going down, when you're chasing as much as they chase, we just talked about 8 come from behind victories, you're going to make mental errors. The Florida Panthers were unbelievable at punishing when they did.
Yeah, that's a great point, given what Florida's been through. We were focused on going to 3 straight finals and the attrition impact on their side. But Edmonton had 2.5 deep runs, and we kind of overlooked that part.
Yeah, we do. And I think it's just because, you know, let's face it, I think there's a lot of people who wanted to see Edmonton win that series. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like any other time in any league, when you see a dynasty and you see a team that's there all the time and winning, eventually you kind of get sick of them being there. I don't care who you are. Florida Panthers are happy with it. They've got a real great thing going, and they're not going anywhere, by the way. They're not going anywhere. They're potentially going to get there for the first time in a long time, 4 straight Stanley Cup finals. I don't see why we wouldn't think that they're going to find a way to get there again next year. They're just getting more comfortable in their own skin as an organization, as a team. They play a brand that's really hard to match. I believe they've morphed into Boston and Tampa. They had to. Those were the two juggernauts that they had to face in their conference that they were going to have to get through to get to the Stanley Cup final. Chopped down Boston the 2 times they played them, and this year they took down the Tampa Bay Lightning. I thought Tampa had a chance this year to take them out. That's the one area you might be able to catch Florida as early. But as that series went on, and as every series went on, the playoffs, they found a way to get better and better. But, two teams that have had lengthy runs. But if you look at the last 2 games, I just think that the pace that Florida plays with, I have to give them a lot of credit. Because if I was a coach, and I know Paul Maurice has really implemented this, it's the dedication to working as hard as they work and forechecking as hard as they forecheck. It was every shift. They did not take a shift off. Now, when they did sit back a couple of times in the series, it didn't work well for them. But when they pushed, and last year up 3-0, they sat back a little bit. Edmonton pushed. They got it back to game 7. What happened in game 7? Exactly what happened in this game 7. Big moments, execution, big time players, all down their lineup when they got their chances, they scored. Very opportunistic.
I think the learning curve of being up 3-0 last year was top of mind last night for the Panthers. They weren't going to go through that. They weren't going to be on that flight for 6 more hours back to Edmonton. There was just no way that they were going to do it.
Edmonton came out flying. Yeah. You know, Edmonton came out in that game, the first few shifts again. And you're sitting there saying to yourself, okay, this is how you have to play. You have to make them defend. You have to make them spend time in their own zone. They couldn't sustain it. They just couldn't sustain it. And one mistake in the net. Second mistake in the net.
And when you do have that great start, there's one person that can stand in your way, and he did, and that was Sergei Bobrovsky, right?
There's an amazing story in itself. You know, when he signed that long-term contract, he was, I believe at the time, maybe the most expensive. I think Carey Price at 11.5. But he signed that long-term. Was it 10 for 10 that he signed with Florida? And when he signed, you're like...
7 for 10.
Yeah, sorry. I thought he was before they put the cap on it. I could be wrong, though. But anyway, he when he first signed, you're like, ooh, I don't know. Like, is he at the end of his career? Is this going to be a good contract in a few years? And there was a brief period of time there for a few years where you're like, ooh, I don't know if that's going to look good in a few more years. I think it looks amazing right now. You know, think about it. He's not the Vezina winner, but you know what? He's the best goalie when it matters. There's no question about that. And I thought they got to him early. I don't think they were able to capitalize on the fact that he had a little bit of a shaky start to this series. They capitalized it in game one. They didn't capitalize it in game two. Game three, that was a different Florida Panthers team, and I think the frustration boiled over for Edmonton. Game four, they were able to win it, but it still took overtime and a fluky goal to get one by him when it counted. And then we know what happened in the last two games. He just didn't let a whole lot go by him, three goals in total, and his team backed him up. So when it mattered most, once again, Sergei Bobrovsky got the job done.
I'm on record. I didn't think he was going to finish the contract.
There you go. I'm saying. Like, when I saw that, I was like, ooh, but he's won Vezinas before. I mean, this is a guy that has had an elite game previously in his career. It was just a matter of getting back. And again, this is a great segue into the Stuart Skinner. You know, like a lot of talk about Stuart Skinner. He's 26 years old. He's got one more year at 2-6. Him and Calvin Pickard for 2 years in a row have gotten to the Stanley Cup final. So I think they're fine in that regard. Obviously, I think if something was to come up and they were to look at it and say, I think we can bring a goaltender in here that's better, which is not going to be easy to do, by the way, a goaltender that's gotten you the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row. And what are you going to pay them? Right now, it's $3.6 million for their two goaltenders. So yeah. I know it's going to be a hot button topic all summer long. I'm fine with the goaltending right now. They can continue to work on that. But I don't think they're going to not exercise any option they believe makes this team better, because the window is now. I didn't see this year, guys, for Edmonton, but the window is now for the Oilers. And it's critical now that every move they make now has to be a positive one and push them a little bit further in the right direction.
So on that topic about goaltending, I understand what you're saying. Most of the time you and I agree on this one. my only caveat to it is that Stan Bowman did not bring either of these guys in. True. And Stan Bowman, that new set of eyes, doesn't have the loyalty that the others in the organization have to both Pickard and to Skinner. And I wonder what impact that will be.
I agree. I think you're bang on, John. I think that any new manager that comes in, you know, has to sit and watch for a period of time. I think the Walman pickup was great by Bowman. I think he grinded Mike Greer for that for a long time to get that done. And look what Walman did in the playoffs. By the way, playing injured, going into the playoffs, and was nursing that injury throughout. A lot of guys are. I'm not saying that it's just Edmonton, but there was guys dealing with things. And again, why I think you have to tip your cap to Edmonton, too, for getting there, like you said, Darren, getting there for the second time in a row, three long runs in the last 4 years, is it? Pretty incredible. So you have to kind of understand that they've had some trials and tribulations, too. But I do believe he wants to have his stamp on this team. I think he's going to be really grinding going into the draft, going into the offseason, free agency. There's some big question marks with this team already. Bouchard being one of them. But, you know, this is, for me, this is the time. This is the time. And if you look at over the history of the game and the teams that have had great success, they get to a point where, you know, feelings go out the window. quite frankly, go out the window. Yeah. You know, go out the window and it's like, okay, is this player getting the job done for us? Simple and first and foremost. And if he's not, then sorry, we're moving on. Detroit comes to mind. For years, they would bring different players in there. If it didn't mesh, gone. If you didn't play the system, gone. I think Florida's already there. Look at the players they bring in. Look at the success they've had. They bring people in that can complement what they have and can play the way they want to play. Edmonton now has to make decisions based off of that. And you know what? There's some things I think they can improve on. I certainly think they can get a little bigger. I think they can get faster. Probably a little younger, too. I think they could get some younger legs in there and excitement and guys that, you know, listen, can give them that energy when the energy wanes a bit. But these are all question marks that I'm sure Stan Bowman, his management staff, the ownership group are going to look at throughout this next little bit. It's going to happen fast. But these decisions are critical, similar to what happened last year. This time of year, the offer sheet that took away two young players from them, Ryan McLeod not there as well. There was a lot of changeover in that regard and a lot of speed taken out of the lineup for Edmonton. They still managed to get to the final. Their core is there. It's about building around that core correctly now and getting the job done, quite frankly.
But do you think they have to take a slight step back to return to what they are right now, a Stanley Cup contender?
I know what you're saying. You might have to go a different direction in some regards to see if it fits. You've got to try a couple different things, but I don't think they need to take a step back. I think it's going to be grueling. I'm looking at next year already thinking it's going to be similar to this year. And Darren, you've been around the Vegas Golden Knights. You understand a team that goes long, that plays hard, that plays that system and plays that style. If you're going to battle long times, long journeys in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's going to take a toll on you. So how you can manage the regular season. I think Edmonton has gotten to that point. They have enough firepower. They have elite skill. They have the two best players in the game offensively when they're rolling. That power play is going to, I'm not too worried about it. It's going to get rolling again. It's going to probably be number one next year because it'll click. But it's, they can manage the regular season to get to the playoffs. And they don't care where they finish. They had home ice in this final series. It didn't really pay the dividends they felt it would. I would tell you that they're going to get there again, but having that long run, you've got to have the right pieces. You've got to build around the core. So I think because they have the core intact, when you look at the players they have coming back, I mean, that's the core you're building around. So build around it.
By the way, you mentioned power play. When you do have one of the best power plays in the National Hockey League and you rely on it a lot to win, it's difficult to use it when there's no penalties in the game.
Oh, I know. Don't get me started. Do you know what? I'll tell you what. Yeah, there wasn't, I'll be honest, there wasn't a lot missed. Did you guys think? No, I didn't think there was a lot missed in that game, to be honest. There wasn't a whole lot of penalties to be had. They let them play. The one trip on McDavid, I'll say that, early in the third period. I mean, he gets around Seth Jones and he smashes him in the shin pads, takes him down. He was too quick to get up. That's Connor, though. He battles through that. Probably why he doesn't draw as many penalties as he should. You know, some guys would have slid and looked back and said, are you kidding me? He just shot me down the ice. That's not him. He was up instantly. So it was almost like a little blip. And I think sometimes because it happens so fast, he doesn't get that call that maybe some others would. That'd be the only one that comes to mind. Would have been an easy call to make. He had gotten around a defenseman. He had missed the puck and he'd taken him down. But that's it. Other than that, I'll be honest, I didn't see a whole lot. And quite frankly, they weren't spending enough time in the zone to draw the penalties. They weren't spending enough time in Florida's zone to draw penalties in front of the net, the danger areas where it's that critical moment for someone's got to make a decision. Am I going to hook this guy, slash this guy, grab this guy, or else let him have a chance? But they let him play. They let him play.
On the subject of the Stanley Cup final, and we'll get into more specifics on the Oilers moving forward after we take a break, but when you look at what Edmonton did, and then you hear what Connor had to say after, saying their forecheck beat us, and we just kept doing the same thing, banging our head against the wall. What did you take from that quote?
Yeah, I kind of picked up on that too. It was a little frustration from Connor there. And let's face it,
which I expected something to come out of.
Let's face it, though. I agree with him. That was the one area that I agree with him. Number one, they didn't slow down that forecheck. So the only way you're going to slow down a forecheck is how. You've got to check harder coming back. You've got to check harder in the neutral zone. You've got to make it so you're there to deter them a little bit to get in as quickly as they did, number one. Number two, you've got to have defensemen that make that play in a crunch. They didn't. I'm sorry, they didn't. That was the one area. And the Florida Panthers knew it. The Florida Panthers knew that if they get on that defense, they're going to turn the puck over. And they did. There's just no getting around that. And once they had that template, they never relented. And you know what? I credit them for that. It was a relentless forecheck. And I loved it. I'm always preaching forecheck all the time. I think it's free. It's the one thing you can do that a guy like me that was a fourth line grind, ham and egger, I can forecheck. Everybody can forecheck. Everybody can commit themselves to getting there as hard as possible. Getting there quickly as possible. It was the layers of forecheck. One, two, three, boom. It was the next guy coming to where the puck was. And what happened essentially for me in the series was they just didn't execute plays. And after a while, it was almost like they were battered into making mistakes. They're like, I'm just going up the boards here. I don't want to go to the middle and have it turned over. It worked. It worked. That's a problem moving forward that they're going to have to deal with. That's a problem moving forward they're going to have to get better with. And I think where you were feeling that from Connor, even dropped a little F-bomb there, I think, in the press conference, rightfully so. But he matter-of-factly said, we kept doing the same thing. I think they were forced a bit to do that, but they needed to make that little change. They needed to find a way to execute. Not easy to do when you're playing a team that's checking as hard as they did. But I think to a man, this team still needs to learn how to win in this league. It still needs to learn how to win grindy and close in this league. Eight come from behind wins. They were looking for their ninth last night. Yeah. That's too many. You got to find a way to do that earlier and just stay in the pressure game. And they have done it in small bunches. They did it against Vegas, which, you know, Darren, they did it against L.A. Once they finally tightened it up transitionally, L.A. was killing outnumbered rushes. They found a way to clean that up. They found a way to clean it up against Vegas. Dallas, they knew that against that team, kind of controlled that series. They were still tight, but controlled it. But the Florida Panthers are a different animal. This is a team that's they're not going to relent. They're going to continue to come at you. They just didn't execute enough.
So here's the big summer assignment before we go to break. We got talking about it on the Oiler pregame show on radio last night. We call that Lundell, Listerinen, Marchand, the third line, but it's not a third line. We have to find a way to have a new nickname for three lines of a team that have three number one lines. Because when you think about it, Louis,
they trifecta.
So, and what that allowed you to do was you could play everybody balanced. Everybody, the ice time is so balanced in Florida, and then you use your fourth line with the three Tasmanian Devils there. That we could call them the DeBrusque line. They played their 9-minute role. They did it perfectly.
Damn right.
But the other guys play 16 to 19 minutes, and so there's so much balance that's what's fascinating about what Paul Maurice and the coaching staff in Florida have to deal with that no other team does. No other team does.
You know what? And the thing was, as the series went on, Channy, it was, you could tell they had more energy. Simple as that. Yeah. They had more energy. They were comfortable with all four lines. Reminds me of Vegas team in 2023 that somebody on this podcast knows very well. Yeah. You know what I mean? They beat Edmonton in that run to the playoffs and in that Stanley Cup final. And they were a deep team too. I remember in the matchup against Edmonton, second round, they started the fourth line against the McDavid line. Remember that?
Yeah.
If that's not Bruce Cassidy saying, hey, we're pretty comfortable with anybody. It didn't work this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, Edmonton learned from that, right? So when you talk about the runs Edmonton's had, and listen, that could have gone either way too. I think that was a very close series in itself. I mean, those games could have gone either way. It was a really tight, hard-fought battle. But I would tell you that learning lesson from those experiences, and that Lundell to me, the smartest thing they did was lock him up. Lock him up. I thought that was a guy somebody could grab a couple of years ago, and they were smart. They knew what they had there. When Barkov was hurt this year, he stepped right up to the top line. I mean, that kid is awesome. And Marchand, a veteran player that's a game breaker, put on that line with him and Listerinen. I mean, Listerinen, however you say his name, he's a darn good player too. You know, that's
27. I just say 27.
Yeah. But you know what? Well, it's Listerinen. I understand we get it wrong every once in a while. Great player, though. But that third line, relentless. They're physical. They demand the puck. They play a great defensive game. Not a problem throwing them out there against top lines of the opposition anytime they want. And not only defending against them, scoring. That third line, could you argue that was the most dangerous line in the series? That line right there when they were on the ice. I mean, I don't remember them spending a whole lot of time in their own zone.
They had one quiet game, and Florida wasn't very good in that game.
Yep. The only game, Marchand didn't score in that one, I think, right? Or did he? I can't remember.
No, he didn't. They had one quiet game, and it was lopsided towards Edmonton. The Florida Panthers, by the way, the Florida Panthers did what I expected Vegas to do against Edmonton this year, and it didn't happen for the Golden Knights. Yep. Take advantage of that D and forecheck, and Florida was able to capitalize. But the Panthers remind me of the New York Islanders dynasty. So balanced and not flashy. I know the Islanders had Trotsky and Bossy, but they're so similar, and they just go about their business. Would you say a reserved Stanley Cup celebration last night? Like, we did it.
Yeah, like, low key,
like, yeah.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page, Darren, because I last night was like, that's exactly what I said. They could be the first team since the Islanders to go to four straight finals. Mm. And would you bet against them right now?
No.
They were skating around that ice like there was no big deal. Like, hey, we've been here. They're getting more weathered and more experienced every single round they play. And there was a couple teams. I thought Winnipeg really pushed them with that defensive structure. Obviously, Connor Hellebuck, a great goaltender. Like, they're big. They were strong. They kind of really had to play composed. And sometimes you can call it even boring, but it worked. It worked. That's a hard team. That's a hard team. And you have to capitalize on your chances when you're playing against a team like that. Edmonton didn't. You know what? And like you said, with Vegas, I think they executed better against Vegas. They were had more energy. It was earlier in the playoffs. If that's the final and you play that against them, could be a different result, right? And Florida somehow found that energy, as you were talking about earlier, John. I looked at the times every game. I was looking at the times after the game of how much the big boys were playing, and there's no question the top players of Edmonton played more. They played more, but they have throughout the playoffs. So, and they relied more on their depth this year than ever. So it just goes to show you, the formula's never set in stone. Right. Formula's never set in stone. You've got to adapt every single round, every single game, every single situation you face. And that's one of the best qualities of the Florida Panthers. Their game is almost bulletproof when they're doing it right.
Take a quick break. Come back with Louis DeBrusque on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Lou, you okay to dive into some specifics, individual players?
Before we do that, there's one part of the Islanders. There's one part of the Panthers that we haven't really given credit to. We've talked a lot about the forwards. We talked a lot about Bob. But their defense.
Great point. Yeah, you know what? And it kind of gets overlooked with how relentless they were. But you know what? It's a great point, though, John. We should make it, because one of the things I noticed, too, very similar to Vegas, their defensemen were so comfortable standing on that offensive blue line. They did not back up. And how many outnumbered rushes did Edmonton have in that series? Why were they so confident?
Right.
Because they knew their forwards would come back. Their forwards were not just great on the forecheck. They were great on the backcheck. They literally took your time and space away everywhere.
But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. We've all and gosh, you love Nate Schmidt. Nate Schmidt's one of the good guys in the game, and it was so good to see him get the cup after Barkov. Great on the club for doing that.
Yeah.
You saw Dmitry Kulikov play as an Oiler. We've seen him play for a multiple of other teams. All of a sudden, Nate Schmidt, journeyman, Dmitry Kulikov, journeyman. They look like they're, you know, Bill Gadsby and Leo Boivin, and they look like they're great veteran players that have been steady for a long time. There's something that goes on in Florida that players, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, it happened to him.
Florida.
There's something that happens the way they play the game as a team that allows them to, you know, to let journeyman players succeed again. It's fantastic.
It's exactly what we talked about earlier. And I said, when you look at teams of the past, Islanders, if you want to use for an example, if you want to use the Red Wings as an example, you want to use Tampa Bay as an example, it seemed like any player that went in there just sort of morphed into their team. You know why? Because that core was so strong in the way they played. Yeah. The identity of that team is, this is what we do. So Kulikov's a great example, too. And I'm glad you brought him up, because I think I had this conversation with my wife last night watching the game. I'm like, that guy came to Edmonton. He couldn't even play in Edmonton.
He could not play.
And I'm watching him cross-check Pod Colson in front of the net. But that's the key. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, too. What did we see from him? It was that grit. It was that tenacity. It was that cross-check first mentality. that defense corps, if you watch games one and two, watch how many times, when the Oilers went to get on the forecheck, they got a wall. They got a wall of a crosscheck. Ekblad, Jones, Kulikov, you name it. And, you know, for me, Forsling, the speed that he skates with, he did a tremendous job in being able to get back and make great defensive plays. But they all play with a crosscheck mentality. They all play with a mentality, we're going to box you out. So if you're going to go to the front of the net, you're going to eat some stick here. And in the playoffs, they let more go. Sorry, but that is the team that draws the most calls, but gets the most calls. And they're totally fine playing that kind of hockey. They're totally comfortable with it. They know they have a good penalty kill. They know they have a good goaltender. They're an aggressive penalty kill, which Edmonton can usually exploit that on a regular basis. This is the first year since I've seen this power play put together. Now, no Zach Hyman. I got to tell you, that was probably one of the biggest losses for them against the Florida Panthers. Of any player other than the top guys you want to take out of your lineup, Zach Hyman, you knew he was going to get on the forecheck. You knew he was going to get a hit. He was leading in hits going into that final series. It's, you know, for me, that was a big loss, but they make you work for every inch. And that's the philosophy. So when guys go in there, like I said earlier, if you don't fit into what they're trying to do, bye-bye. You're gone. You're gone. But if you fit into that template and you're willing to dig and you're willing to buy in, you're willing to be physical, you're willing to play that team game, which is mean, a little bit of the modern day Broad Street Bullies, then you're going to stay there and they'll be very loyal to you. And look at their fourth line. Rear, Gadget, no shit. You know, they had guys in and out of the lineup a little bit, but those guys they kept coming back to. And you know what? Why? They would go through a wall for you. They would go through a wall for you to win a hockey game. That's what you need. And I'm going to slide this back to Edmonton. That is now the moves that Edmonton needs to make to take the next step, in my opinion. They need to find those guys that are going to come in. They know their place in the lineup. They know exactly what they're supposed to do. And they do their job, period. And they're hard to play against.
What flips the switch then for those players that go in and change their identity? Because it's not like coaches or organizations haven't, or teammates haven't preached that where they've been before.
I think it's because everybody else does it, Darren. I think when you come into an organization like that, and let's face it, they've won. So they got to the final, okay? And it was a monumental win over Boston. I got to keep bringing that up because it was heartbreaking for me to see them take down my kid and that absolute juggernaut of a team. They had to do everything right in that one, including a game seven overtime winning goal. Like, it was a battle of a series. I mean, that series to me was just too bad that wasn't a little later in the playoffs, because that was a war. Absolutely.
Well, we forget we forget, Louis, that Brad Marchand had the series on his stick with 2 seconds right to play away in game five.
It was over. It was like an overtime goal. It was over. 3-1 in the series. Yeah. That was without Krejci and Bergeron. You know, to get up 3-1 in that series, right. I don't even want to go into it because it's but you know what? You're right. But you're right. It's funny how ironically he goes to the team and he was the game breaker in the finals. That would have been the difference. You know, if he scores that goal, I'm telling you, I don't think anyone touches him after that if they get through with Florida Panthers. I just don't. Right. I think they go through everybody because they were really powerful. Obviously a historical year. But anyway, I think that when you come on board with a team, that's great. And especially they're pretty veteran guys, right? They're guys that have been around for a while. So they're sitting there going, okay, what do I have to do to stay in the lineup? You've got to change your game a little bit if you want to stick around. They're willing to do so. They're willing to dig in a little harder. But when you're watching everybody on that team, when you first come on board, you're watching everybody play that hard, mean, cross-checky hitting style. This is how we do it. This is how we backtrack. This is how we check in the defensive zone. We block shots. We battle in front. We protect our goaltender. It just rubs off. It rubs off on everybody that comes into that organization. And like I said before, Florida's already here. Florida's already at this point in time. If you don't do it, bye-bye. You're not staying here. Bye-bye. You're out of here. Edmonton needs to get harsh on that. Edmonton needs to look at this long and hard in the offseason and say, okay, is this player helping us moving forward in the way that we need that player to help us? And if the answer is no, you need to make the change. You have to make the change. Now, those are tough conversations and tough decisions, but you have to build around this core. You have to.
This is why it's the summer of Stan. This is why it's the summer of Stan, because he's that new set of eyes. He's had his year now. He was analytical in Chicago.
Yep.
He traded Dustin Byfuglien. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not afraid to make big moves.
And, you know, here's the thing, too. Like, they're going to have a little more cap space. They've obviously got some housekeeping to do. But when, for the most part, when you look at it, I mean, Connor's contract doesn't kick in until next year if they get it done. I know that's a priority, but they'll get it done. And even if he doesn't want to sign it right away, they still have that year to work with to say, okay, how can we do this? Evan Bouchard's the big guy, right? Evan Bouchard's a restricted free agent, has led defensemen in scoring the playoffs 3 years already now in his young career. He's going to be looking for a payday. So this is the big question mark for me, is how they're going to deal with that. And then it's about going out there and finding the right players. You've got to go out there and find the guys that can get the job done. And you've got to find bargain guys that come in and have big impacts. I think Todd Poulsen was a great pickup too. I think you have to give him credit for that. You know, he came in, he started to see him get going later in the year. And I think the goal scoring will come for him because of the intangibles of his game. They're going to need to. He's going to need to start producing. But I think, you know, looking down that lineup, there's areas they can build on. And I think they can do it economically, number one. But they better make sure they're making the right decisions. I think it is a very, very important offseason, as every team has. But especially for this team right now in the situation they're in. Two finals, two losses. What's going to push them over the edge? Can three or four different players that have an impact do that? I would say yes.
Do they need a hometown discount from Bouchard?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get it. That's just my gut. And I don't know which direction they're going to go. You know, I've been looking at it kind of here before coming on with you guys. I've been just thinking about it. And club elected arbitration, guarantee you have them for a short period of time anyway. At maybe a number that's a little lower than maybe what he wants. Who knows what arbitration will give him when you start to state those cases. There's some pretty darn good defensemen. Most of the high-ended contracts are usually the older guys that have won, or guys that have been around, won Norris trophies, that kind of stuff. But I look at the McCars, I look at the Hughes, I look at, you know, those contracts down that list, and he's right in the mix there. Is he as good overall as those defensemen? That's the argument, right? That's the argument you're going to have. No question, right? Offensively, he's right there. He is playing on one of the best power plays in the league. He's playing with two of the best point producers in the last 10 years. They've been pacing the league offensively. So you have to take that into consideration. I think he'd be smart, too. I think he'd be really smart to say, you know what? I like playing on this power play, and I like, but he takes a lot of flack here. I'll give him that. He does. He really does take a lot of flack. Some of it unwarranted, some of it warranted. But there's no question. He's come up big in the playoffs. He's come up big at times. He does make mistakes sometimes that are glaring, but I think every defenseman at some point in time does that. If he can clean that up a bit, maybe a little confidence with a long-term contract under his belt, just to settle in and play the way he can play. I got time for Evan Bouchard. I don't know if you want to go and make him the highest paid defenseman in the league. I don't think so. But if you can get him somewhere in that range of, you know, Hughes, McCarr, around there, that'd be awesome, I think. And if he was to go long term, I think it would not be a bad decision on his part or the Oilers' part.
And the timing of Connor's contract, people are going to panic. If it gets into late July or August, people are going to start talking about it. Panic might be overused, but where do we see a timeline there?
I think it'd be a pretty easy contract, right? Mm-hmm. Seriously, like, I think it's like, okay, what do you want? Like, can we make it happen? I mean, this is just me putting my GM cap on. For me, it's, are you really going to start negotiating and grinding down Connor McDavid? It's going to probably have another, 500 to 800 point seasons before it's all said and done, I'm guessing. Yeah. Like, it's, I don't see him slowing down. I really don't. I would say this year he probably struggled the most he struggled since his rookie year with an injury, and he still put up 100 points. So it's like, this is kind of what he does. And I think he's shown that. He's proven that. I think everybody knows he's the best player in the game. So, you know, the thing would be, though, the concern would be for me, Darren, is if he doesn't sign. So if it's not getting signed, if it's not getting signed, it has nothing to do with Edmonton. You know what I'm saying? They can come to a deal. And that would be a concern for me. Because then it's okay. He's obviously contemplating and waiting and seeing what's going on. And maybe he's waiting to see what you do, which maybe isn't a bad ploy by Coleman. You know, I mean, no. Listen, I don't think he's trying to hold anybody ransom here, but there's,
I would expect him to be involved in that. The negotiation goes beyond just dollars.
Absolutely. Listen, it's no different than Crosby in Pittsburgh. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but It goes right hand in Ovechkin and Washington. They have an impact in what happens with that organization. If they don't like things, they have a voice. Is the voice always heard? Not necessarily, but a lot of times, absolutely. You know, you're like, listen, if somebody's coming and saying, this is what we need, then you usually are going to try and fulfill that because you want to make your team the best you can, but obviously you want to keep your stars happy. You want your stars to believe in the team. That's the key. So as John said, the summer of Stan, you know, this is maybe even more important because of that contract looming. But I would think they can get it done. But if they don't, I'm not panicking. But you have to start asking yourself questions if it goes into the season not signed. You have to start looking at it long term and go, okay, this has to get done before a certain point in time, or we can't just let this not happen and lose him for nothing.
Connor, you know Connor well enough. I think I know Connor well enough. He does not want to go into the season and face this question every press conference. He
great
doesn't.
Point.
You know, great so point. Here's the other thing. I don't think none of us have the gospel. I don't think the dollar figure is an issue. I think the term might be the bigger issue because the growth of the game is moving so fast that I think. And let's remember who Connor's agent is, Judd Moldaver, same guy that represents Austin Matthews. Matthews signed a 5-year deal in Toronto. I would not be surprised to see McDavid and the Oilers agree on a dollar figure and then say, but it's only a 5-year deal. Because that puts Connor at 33 and then he can sign an even bigger deal at 33.
And quite frankly, how often do we see it where players are late in their career and they're on contracts? I'll bring up Bergeron for an instance. Like I look at Bergeron, he signed that long-term deal and it's like, look what he's making in his last few years of his deal when he's actually the most valuable. He's got all that experience and he's winning Norris. He's winning, Selkies. And you know what I'm saying though? Like, so from his perspective, twofold. Number one, salary cap's going up exponentially in the next 2 years. Is it going to continue? You have to think that it's going to, right? Number two, where's this team in 5 years? Is the team what he needs it to be as far as winning a championship? Because quite frankly, I think that's all what it's all about for Connor now. I do think, though, that this is the team he's going to deal with. I think that when you look at what they've done and what they've built here, I think that if you think you're going to go, unless it's Florida you're going to, like, I mean, if he could go sign a 1-year discount at Bryce to go into Florida, yeah, I understand that. But that doesn't happen with the elite players. It's really difficult, unless you're going to take a huge pick up. We saw Kariya and Solani try and do it in Colorado. It's a real risky game, right? Gretzky at the end chased a bit too, trying to find that. Guys are always trying to find that next cup. Or the first one, for that matter. For him, I think he really wants to win it in Edmonton. I think this is it. I think he's been the foundation of what this is built up to now. He wants to see this through. That's my gut for Connor. And I agree with you. I don't think he wants to talk about this all year long. And he won't. Right. I think it'll be, if he doesn't get signed, it's going to be, don't ask me again or I'm going to walk out of the interview because I don't want to talk about this anymore. And I don't think it'd be a wise decision to keep bringing it up because you won't get him. You won't get him to talk about anything. But that's just the way he is. He doesn't love the media. He's not like, listen, he tolerates it. He does it. But he likes to do his talking on the ice. And hopefully that's what gets done when they can get a deal done before the start of the season.
The other thing is I don't think, and you're around the club a lot more than I am. I don't think Leon signs for 8 years with his new contract kicking in without knowing that Connor's going to be around too. Do you?
Part of it, right? I think they're, they're the dynamic duo, best duo in the league. Sorry, right there. That's it. Like, it's not even, I'm not debating with anybody about it. That's just my opinion. And if you don't agree with it, then you're wrong. But I agree with you. I agree with you that They're running mates. Listen, these guys have endured a lot here as far as the pressure of being those guys, and they're feeling it even more now with two losses in the final. But I don't know if there's two guys that I'd rather have in my corner going into that war again. That's for me, I just think it's easy, and I think they realize that. They really do have a kinship as far as, you know, what they've come up and how they pushed each other to be better. They paced the league, like I said, in the last 10 years in points. it's not slowing down. They're only going to get better. I think as they get a little more comfortable, they're going to have another explosive year. It's hard to follow it up year after year, but they're just so skilled. They're so skilled, and they're learning how to manage a game. And like I said earlier, I think they want to see it through because they've been a big part of putting this together. They've been a big part of the identity of this team. Sometimes it's too much focused on them, but how can you not focus on them? Every single team that comes in does. And quite frankly, Florida did a pretty darn good job at making it a difficult series on those two in particular.
It occurs to me, more positives than I would expect for a team that just lost back-to-back Stanley Cup finals.
Well, I think getting there is the positive. Yeah. I think when you look at it, you go, their age is perfect right now. I mean, the stars of this team, it's like, yeah, they're just coming into their prime. This is kind of like they're learning how to play even more every day. They'll have a chip on their shoulder. They did this year. It was a different year this year, losing that cup final last year. I don't know if it's going to have the same effect on the team going into next year, personally, but it's the only way you can look at it, Darren. I mean, every single team aside from the Florida Panthers is not happy with the season. If you are, you're in the wrong business. I'm sorry, you're in the wrong business. This is the winning business. And yeah, it's money. Yeah, it's a business. Yeah, you want to bring, and that's all fine and dandy. But for the players on the ice, this is about winning. It's about winning the Stanley Cup. Devastating to lose it 2 years in a row. But I think the future is mega bright. I look at this as mega bright. I think they're now again a team that everybody next year knows this is going to be a difficult team to beat again because they're going to go out and make changes. And if those changes take off, if those people they bring in and personnel they bring in, if it just clicks, look out. Because then it's all of a sudden, yeah, now we believe even more. We know we're good, right? That's how they feel. And you've heard Connor say that a lot. He goes, we're a good team. They believe they're a good team. They faced a lot this year. If they get the right pieces to go in and fill those holes, I'll tell you, they're going to be that much more confident.
Are you done now? Are you released from any duties?
Free agency? I have been for a bit. I have been for a bit. You know, yeah, I've been off for a bit, but I've been doing a lot of shows and just a lot of call-ins. Obviously, when it's in the city you live, you know, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of hype around this team. And that's why, as devastating as it was to see that loss last night for me, I'm an Edmontonian. I'm watching that. You know, I'm not going to even sugarcoat who I'm cheering for. Yeah, I want to see Edmonton win the Stanley Cup. But you know what? I look at it and say maybe they're just not ready yet. You know, they're just not ready yet to take that next step, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is just part of the evolution of a team. There's a lot of teams that have taken a long time to get to that stage with some fantastic players. So Ovechkin, look how long it took him to win a cup. You know, I mean, that's this guy's all-time goal scorer in the history of the game. Took him a long time to win that Stanley Cup. For these guys, it'll make it that much sweeter when they eventually do, which I believe they can do. I truly do. I didn't see this year coming. I really didn't. I didn't think they were going to have the run this year. What they proved to me this year is they're dangerous regardless. Even when they're wounded, they're dangerous. So if they happen to hit it right, which is always the question mark, if you hit it right and everybody's healthy and you get running, look out. Look out, because I think guys ran out of gas this year. You guys touched on it a little bit because of the depth of Florida. Edmonton ran out of gas a bit. I think the players that came back from injuries, you're always on that adrenaline rush when you first come back in the lineup. You're flying, you're moving, but eventually you're going to hit that wall. Eventually the toll is going to be taken of how grueling it is. And there's always that little downturn with guys that come back off an injury before they go back up. Well, in the playoffs, you don't have that time. You don't have the time to make it up. So you saw that in a few players.
Got to be like Louis DeBrusque in a tree blind. You got to be patient.
Oh, you got to be patient. Yeah. Yes, you do. And sometimes that's very difficult, especially for someone with ADHD like myself.
we're gonna get those t-shirts. We're gonna get those t-shirts made. The Summer of Stan. I think we can make money there with those. The Summer of Stan. You can use it. You can use that on all the. You can use those on all the interviews you do.
Yeah, Summer of Stan. You know what? Well, you know what? Listen, it's always lots of work to do. This is the hardest time for them, but the most important time for the management groups of every organization, respectively, when you go into the draft, into the free agency market. You're trying to make your team better. It's a real positive thing. It's a difficult task, though, because you've got 32 teams all vying probably for the same players to try and bring into the organization if they can. Yeah. And you know what? It's about the team that can go get it done and bring in those players. So it'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see what he does. I think he's got some some leeways in certain areas that he knows he can be comfortable with, at least to start the season. He doesn't have to worry about it. And there's a couple other areas where you want to give yourself a chance to find some of those players that nobody really thought could come in and have an impact. Similarly, that we talked about Schmidt, you know, we talked about guys that, you know, come into Florida and just flourish. Edmonton needs some players to come in and flourish because it didn't happen this year at the start. You know, when you look at it, it wasn't a smooth transition for players coming into the team. No. And you're kind of looking forward saying, okay, maybe it's different this time. Maybe it's different.
A little bit of roster churn is always good. It gets everybody hungry and filters through the room. Thanks, Louis. Appreciate it. Enjoy it.
Good seeing you guys. Take care. Have a great summer, okay?
You betcha, buddy. John's quiet.
No, I hate the second guy on the panel saying goodbye too, because that's your job. You say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. All right. Take care,
guys. See you, buddy.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
So the old guy outduels the young kid 2 years in a row from a coaching standpoint, with Paul Maurice winning. That's the ultimate poster for being patient, right? The way Paul Maurice winning back to back.
Yeah, but when you have that roster and you don't have to make that many changes. I mean, the biggest question was how healthy was AJ Greer? That was his toughest decision in this whole series. Boquist in, is Greer healthy? If Greer's healthy, he's playing. If he's not, Boquist plays. There wasn't line shuffling in Florida. There wasn't many decisions to be made. It was stay the course. Chris Knobloch was he was juggling chainsaws, trying to find a way to create a spark, to try to get more out of the depth of the Oilers, more out of the wingers for Connor McDavid, the wingers for Leon Draisaitl, and when to put Leon and Connor together. And as Louis talked about, that's when they really missed Zach Hyman so much. The domino effect of Hyman not being able to play with McDavid, and that forced Nugent Hopkins or Perry to play on that line. And then that forced others to play in roles a little too high. Evander Kane.
And a little physical pushback.
And we know that that Zach is one of those guys that gives every ounce of every shift of every game. And that would have made a difference. Could you have asked more out of Corey Perry? I don't think so. Boy, he had a great playoff when you think about a 40.
In the last 6 years, he's been to the final, and he hasn't won. I feel bad.
Well, he, his name is on the cup, right?
I know, but just feel bad. That's a lot of miles on your body.
Yes, on an old body, too. You'd never know with him. You'd never know with him. But if you're Florida, we've talked a lot about Edmonton. If you're Florida, now you've – remember how quickly last year with the tight turnaround to the draft and free agency, Bill Zito and Rick Dudley and those guys had to make decisions on bodies. They've got a little more time now. They've got a couple of weeks to decide. But what do you do with Aaron Ekblad? What do you do with Brad Marchand? What do you do with Sam Bennett? You know, Aaron Ekblad was pretty obvious in his statements post-game that he wants to stay as a Florida Panther. So does that mean hometown discount? That will be fascinating to see. Brad Marchand, his, you know, as we talked with Gregor last week, you know, is he can he squeeze a fourth year out of a team somewhere at close to $8 million? And then what happens to Sam Bennett? How much does Sam Bennett garner on the free agent market if Florida lets it go that far?
You win a Stanley Cup with Brad Marchand. Does that earn the fourth year with Florida? Like, is there a little bit, or is the emotion? And Bill Zito's one of the best, along with Breezeball and Kelly McCrimmon, of being able to take a step back and make decisions without the feelings involved.
Well, let's remember, they've already signed Carter Verhaeghe to a new deal at $7 million. You know, their group of guys, Marchand, Bennett, those are the two forwards. You got to wonder, can you keep both of them? Can you keep both of them? That's going to be close to, for two players, Darren, that's going to be close to $18 million on your cap next year. For two.
You think it's that much for them?
Well, I mean,
it's a little bit higher than I was thinking, but
So 16 to 18. $8 million a piece? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm not sure. And then so what do you do with Ekblad then? Do you let Ekblad go? You know?
Yeah, that's the one that's kind of hung out there for a while, where you're thinking they might have to part ways with Ekblad. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but.
Well, what we don't know is, I mean, everybody's saying they love Florida today because, you know, by the way, they're still at the Elbow Room as a group.
Yeah.
And if you listen to this podcast on Friday night, they're still at the Elbow Room.
Yeah. T-shirts, t-shirt sales, they've run out.
Yeah. So
Dynasty, though. It's a dynasty.
I'm going to reserve on that. I think that they are on the verge of that. I think that, you know, the definition of a dynasty certainly has changed pre-cap, post-cap, but they are darn close to what the Chicago Blackhawks became in the 2010s. I think that will be, the Blackhawks never won consecutive cups, but they did with three and six. They did. So from that perspective, this is one of the great teams. This is one of the great teams post-expansion, but I don't know where it fits in yet. You compared them to the Islanders.
They just remind me of that makeup. That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That is a fair comparison when you look at the level of depth and how Al Arbour used to use his top three lines versus how Paul Maurice used his top three lines. And you know, it's funny how you remember, as soon as you mentioned that, the first guy I thought of was a guy who was on the fourth line for the Islanders every year, Gary Howitt. Never played more than 8 or 9 minutes, was a pest, won the cups, you know, and that was, you know, that was A.G. Greer, that was Jonah Gadjevich, that was everything that fourth line, Tomasz Noszyk, that was everything that fourth line did, which, by the way, got put together in the second round against the Maple Leafs and really in many ways turned that Maple Leaf Panther series around.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a Trotsche, there's a Bossy, there's a Gillies, there's a Nystrom, all on that Florida Panther.
You better mention Bob Bourne. He was my favorite player on that club, Bob Bourne.
Was he?
Oh, I loved Bob Bourne.
Love that.
Because he could skate. Mm-hmm. He could skate and he knew his role and it was just a fantastic, fantastic depth of players on that club. And Bourne was, to me, Bob Bourne was a third line center for the New York Islanders and made so much of a difference as a as a champion for those four seasons.
We now look ahead to the National Hockey League draft and free agency, and we'll talk about it as we continue with more offerings from 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Bye, John.
Are you going to do that again? Seriously? You're going to try that? I'm not paying attention to you today.
I just won.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.